So welcome everyone to our blessing on this lovely day of February the 7th. Gee, just one more day, one more week until Valentine's Day, and we can have our special Valentine's blessing. I hope everyone will join us for that, and thank you so much for being here today. I know there's a lot of distraction going on with this being Super Bowl Sunday, but we're in a really higher and better Super Bowl here. We're at the place where things really, really change the world, where good things really happen, and not on the basis of contest, but on the basis of faith and our connection with our Creator. And so this is a holy time, it's a sacred time, and I hope that as you move into this space of being with us, you will just kind of let go of the cares of the world and the distractions of the world, even the good ones that call for your attention. The kitty wants out, the dog wants in. You know, those sort of things that are just part of life. Let's just let the distractions of the world take care of themselves for a moment. And let's be here centering in our heart and in the quieter, more sacred part of our being. I would love to take calls from our community. We have some wonderful things going on today. So I'll start by just making my own contribution. It's the beginning of our semester 3 webinar, and we're covering the next 4 chapters of Love Without End, the deeper study. As you probably have heard or know, we published the study guide for Love Without End in 2015. And I think that that study guide is making a really huge difference in the reader's ability to focus upon the important priorities and concepts of each chapter. Because the fact is, there is so much there. It's kind of like a Christmas fruitcake. It has nuts, it has fruit, it just has a little bit of everything in it. And as you know, every time you go back through Love Without End, you read or see something that you didn't read or see before. And part of that is your own growth and your own sense of revelation. It's just that you see more because you've grown from reading it the time before. But also I think it does help to have a little bit of focus and direction getting to those deeper places so that we don't just float across on the surface looking for some new insight that we didn't catch the first time. Oh, we have, Jesse is on the phone. Hi, Jesse.
Yes, Glenda. I wasn't able to be on the call last night, and I tried to look for it at the Blessing Giver site, and I can't find it.
I am so sorry, Jesse. This is a comment that the rest of you will just have to not fully know about, but we had a call with our Blessing Givers yesterday in which I gave them more information about the blessing, and I asked it to be recorded, and the recording did not work. So what I will be doing is sending out a new call to all of our Blessing Givers for a second meeting that we will be sure and record, so you'll hear about that soon, Jesse.
Great, thank you.
Okay. Now we can move on. Anyone else with a comment, a question, a wish? Well, one of the things I wanted to say about the blessing, and it's interesting, it really moves into perfect synchronicity with what we're doing in our webinar this afternoon, because it's focusing upon the blessed life. The first time I ever talked about blessings with Yeshua, we were actually discussing his comment about where he said in the Bible, well, he didn't, the apostles quoted him to say, when they wrote the scripture, to say that we should seek first the kingdom of heaven, and then everything else will be given to us. And I said, how does that work? I said, are we supposed to be looking for, are we supposed to just be making life a better place to live? And he said, well, of course, that's certainly true, but that's not what I meant by the comment. And I said, can you tell me more about it? And he said, actually, I told you everything about it in the Beatitudes that I gave in the Sermon on the Mount. And I kind of went, oh, I was a little bit crestfallen because I love them. Don't get me wrong. They're one of the great inspirations of my life. But the reason I was crestfallen is because I didn't think they answered my question. And there are some things about the Beatitudes that I didn't understand. And I, you probably feel the same way, and we may touch upon a few of those as we talk. But basically, that was where we began on discussing the whole subject of blessing. And one of the things that I want to talk more about today, after I take a couple more calls, I see a couple of you are on the board, so just hang in, we'll get to you, that I want to talk about today is the difference between faith and belief and the slight irrationality sometimes that goes along with faith. I want to talk about the difference between joy and happiness and the slight irrationality that can sometimes go along with joy. But there's a cause to our happiness. You see, we as human beings are more than human beings. We do walk upon this earth. We walk in physical bodies. We live with one another in a physical presence. We share life. We share life with the earth. And we have all of these various encounters and confrontations and problems that we experience in life. But in addition to that, we have an enormous range of consciousness and awareness. And we are a soul. And as a soul, sometimes I really feel we're not fully incarnate. We hover about at the level of our guardian angel, watching over our life and making decisions about our life. And I want to get back to that. That's what we're really going to focus on today. But before we do, I want to finish our community time and take a call. Elizabeth, you're on the call. And hi. Oh, you're going to have to – I accidentally close your line. Would you please star six and come back in? I'll look for you. And I'll see if there's anybody else wanting to speak.
Hi, this is Roberto from Amherst.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm just trying to sleep off the cold. I wanted to be the blessing and to also ask people if, to please pray for my cat, Silver. And thank you for your blessings.
Oh, you're so welcome. And Silver, we will pray for you. And you, it's Roberto?
Yeah, Roberto Christian from Amherst.
Okay, Roberto, we will pray for your cold. No, actually, we'll pray for you. And one thing I would like to take this opportunity to remind everybody, whether you have a cold or a flu or any other uncomfortable situation, whether it's an illness or a relationship or a job or anything, if it doesn't feel like it belongs to you, don't call it my cold or my flu or my job or my anything. In other words, don't inhale it into your identity. Just let it be what it is, look at it, and see it floating through your life as something that is passing through and moving on. So that's a general good advice for anyone who has just a little bit of a challenge. Okay. Oh, and I see you were tagged into our Facebook. Hi there. Okay, well, I'm going to stay on the call, though. But it's so nice to meet you and see a picture of you. And we have a caller from Toronto. Is that you, Desmond?
Yes, it is.
You're on.
From New Zealand.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Brenda, we have a yoga retreat at the Spiritual Retreat Center that I work at, and an American came to me this morning and said, I've got to get into town to go and watch the Super Bowl today, which in New Zealand it's no big deal, but he was desperate to do it. So I realized then that the Super Bowl was coming up, and my suggestion is that if we all, especially all of us light workers and blessing givers, tap into that wave of focused attention of all those millions of people that are going to be watching the Super Bowl and feed into that grid the love and light and peace.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do this every time there is a major congregation of people, whether it's for something positive or negative, there's still love there. Let's say a terrible disaster happens and people are focused on it. They're focusing their prayers and their love to help those who were afflicted. Or we come to the Super Bowl, people are expressing the love of their team or just the love of being there, sharing the experience with their buddies, their family, or whatever, just the day. It has become a day of celebration like so many other days of celebration we have. And we join. This is the wonderful, wonderful thing that we begin to achieve when we let go of our judgments or our opinions or our evaluations about the behavior of other people. They're doing what they want to do. And if they're doing their love, we can always take it up to the highest level possible and use events like this to help create a better world. Just think about people showing up, that many people showing up to pray for a better world. So I totally agree, and thank you so much for doing that. And I see that, Elizabeth, you came back on the call. Hi, dear.
Hi, Glenda. This is just a quick call to say how very grateful I am to you and the blessings. I had a great deal of loss in about June last year, and the last 6 months have been really challenging with a broken heart, but every Sunday, without fail, no matter where I was, I got to your blessing, and I just want to tell everybody, these blessings mean so much and do so much for all of us. You know, it's like they build on top of each other every Sunday, another layer, another layer, and you have helped me. I've turned a massive corner, and my heart is just open with all the love in the world, and it's so due to these blessings every Sunday, and I just want to say thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome, and I want to say thank you to you, because, you know, people need to hear from other people, because they're sitting in their chair right now listening to you and thinking, well, you know, I've been feeling the same way, but I wasn't sure what it was. You have helped to build a reality that makes the experience of other people stronger, more effective, and more rooted in faith and optimism. Because, as a matter of fact, all of our blessings in life, whether it's the Christ Blessing Call on Sunday or the things we achieve in our life with our friends, our work, and our service, it's always cumulative. And we always get to make choices about what brick we're going to lay next on the building. And we're getting to build that building with our choices, our love, our efforts, and our expressions of love every day of our life. And I so love that you said that. And for everybody else, you could go to ChristBlessing.org if you ever missed a blessing call and you want to hear what was said and feel the energy. You can go there, and all of the past recordings are archived on that website, with maybe just a very, very few exceptions where there was some kind of problem with our recording or something. But we have years and years of recordings there, and they're for you. It can make a difference. So I really appreciate that. And we have someone, Georgia. Hi, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Blake. I'm calling you from Colorado.
Well, hi, Blake.
Yes, I'm Glenda, I just wanted to express my gratitude to you for all that you've shared with us. And I also want to share, I want to also express my gratitude to my friend Jeremiah, who introduced me to Love Without End.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that. And
I do have a blessing that I would like to ask for.
Okay.
I'd like to ask for my friend, my close friend David, who just recently lost his son.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. We can pray for David and his son. What was his son's name?
Brad.
Brad. I'm sure Brad is in very, very good heavenly hands right now. But we can still pray for him because sometimes even the angels feel a loss on leaving those they love behind.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say thank you.
You are so welcome. And have a wonderful blessing. And I want to continue with what I had in mind to say today. It all came up and kind of percolated out as I was preparing for our webinar this afternoon. Oh, and by the way, if you tried to log in to the webinar, I mean, if you tried to enroll and were unable to, we had a few problems on our website yesterday. And so try again. If I see your name, if I just see your name trying, I'll go ahead and put you in the course, and then we can figure out how for you to pay for it next week, okay? Because if you really want to be in there, I want you in there also. It's wonderful material that we're going to be covering. These chapters that we're covering this time are not the most, they're not the ones that get the most spectacular attention. The ones that get the most spectacular attention are the love that you, love is who you are, and amazing universe, and the one spirit, and the higher intelligence of the heart, and the miracle story, and then, of course, the beloved and Jesus on science. Those are the chapters that everybody buzzes and talks about. And they see these little chapters in the middle, and they say, well, aren't those nice? And they have no idea how powerful these are as bridge chapters to take you from the launching of the book and the major original information into the culmination of the book, because these are the chapters that teach us how to really live in the kingdom of heaven and how to find it. And that's how this chapter began that we're teaching today. It pertains to the blessing, because I was asking Jesus, well, how do we find the kingdom of heaven within? He said, look for your inner joy. And I said, my inner joy? And I said, well, isn't that the same thing as happiness? And he said, oh, no. Oh, no. And he recommended that I read the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote during his imprisonment in Rome. They were some of the most beautiful, joyful letters ever written. And I think we can only imagine the horrific conditions he was living in. Even though he was given a certain amount of respect, he was allowed to write, he was given his food daily, but still, a prison cell in ancient Rome, oh, it had to have been horrible. But the joy he had. We can read the letters of Mother Teresa and see the joy she had, and yet she was working with people dying in the streets of Calcutta. We have read letters written by people who were in death camps, letters of joy about how they were experiencing the inevitable of their life and yet praising God for that inevitable. We hear stories about the saints in the early days of Christianity who would be driven into the Colosseum, and they were facing lions that would eat them, and they would face the lions singing and praising and praying and rejoicing as their life was being consumed. That is joy. Joy is actually irrational, but it's not irrational to the soul, only to the physical incarnate person. Now, the physical incarnate person needs to have happiness that's caused by something. In other words, it's your birthday, you get a present. A friend calls and wishes you much happiness. You're happier. You have a great meal with a great friend. You're happy, 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 happy. You get a raise, you're happy. It's a sunny day, you're happy. We attribute causes to our happiness, even if it's something just as simple as the kitty in your lap purring or the smile from your little boy, and it makes you happy, happy. There's still a cause. Now, we don't necessarily have to be in great distress to feel joy as an irrational component of that. We could feel joy in the midst of anything. It's just that it doesn't come from the physical world to give us some kind of cause-effect affirmation that we've done something right in the physical world. It comes to give us affirmation that the soul of our being is our immortal presence, regardless of what's happening in the world. And so joy and faith are very, very similar in the way they work. I wouldn't say that faith is irrational in the sense that it's inappropriate or doesn't make sense. Our faith must always be rooted in our values, in what we hope for most. It must be rooted in our love and our desire to give our best to our fellow man, to earth and God, and to receive the best that can be given to us. So there's a certain kind of appropriateness to faith. But it doesn't have to have constant reinforcement in order to exist. And it can exist completely beyond external circumstances that would seem to indicate that it's not being reinforced. Now, on the other hand, belief definitely coordinates with reality. Sometimes our beliefs are so strong, they create reality. In other words, the belief precedes the reality that we walk into and we say, oh yeah, of course, this, and we so believe something that it becomes the reality we walk in. Other times we believe because a reality is so constant. Why wouldn't we believe? There's never been a day of our life that we haven't breathed. Not until the end of our life or before the beginning of our life, but there's never been a day we haven't breathed, at least to some degree. There's never been a day of our life that the earth hasn't moved around so that the sun is somewhere in the sky. So naturally, these constants that we experience then reinforce our belief. So there's a coordination between reality and belief, regardless of whether the belief creates the reality or the reality creates the belief. There's a definite coordination. And beliefs are very, very strong. Sometimes we confuse belief with faith. And we get impatient, and we want to have that coordination with reality. We want to see results happening faster than they are. And it's okay to have both belief and faith. It is very important, however, that you really look at your beliefs. It's really important because sometimes they can undermine your faith, because you can so believe in something. You see, beliefs can be reinforced by a lifetime of patterning. Pattern behavior that you've experienced in yourself and other people in the outer world that can be so reinforced that it can undermine your faith. So you do need to take inventory of your beliefs. And you do need to understand that your beliefs are your beliefs, and they're strong. They're very strong. And then take a look at your faith as if it were just a little bird that you held in your hand. And you're going to bless that little bird. And you're going to see its tenderness, its fragileness, but you're also going to see its miracle. Once upon a time, that little bird was just an egg. And inside that egg, there was just a little tiny, tiny embryo that was barely, barely alive. And then before that, that egg was barely, barely alive inside its mother. You see, faith is a process of life, giving life to life, and more life to more life. Faith belongs to life. And always, faith is bringing us more and more life to enjoy and to build upon and create. This is why the comments that were made today about the accumulation of blessings is so relevant. When I asked Yeshua, Jesus, one and the same, arose by any other name, is still the Son of God. So sometimes I feel like one name and other times I feel like the other. I don't know why that is, but I love them both. Anyway, I was asking him about life and he said, life is love in action. Isn't that lovely to think that, yes, we have love in our heart. We are love. God is love. We were created to live in love, but we got to put it into action. And when love goes into action, it creates life. And just think about some little form of life you've held. It could have been your child or your grandchild or a brand new puppy or kitty or a new plant or a garden or a little seed that just came up. You look at that and you behold it for everything it can become. And you know that the imprint of everything it can become is already there. Now, my friends, that's what faith looks like. It's not something you believe. You look at it, and it's a miracle. You look at it, and you know that everything has already been created. You know, if you look a little apple seed, not only is the whole apple tree in that DNA, but every limb on that apple tree is in that DNA. Every leaf on every limb is in that DNA. Now, what makes higher forms of life, well, maybe that was an arrogant thing to say, all forms of life with God are higher, but the free-moving forms of life, whether it's animals or humans or angels, the ones of us that move around and have choices. What makes that so special is that we can choose what to place our faith in. And it's so important that we make those choices. And it's so important that we know our faith is real and it's strong. And that we choose the very best that we can. Sometimes what undermines those choices is a fear that we're not worthy, or a sense of incompletion that somewhere in life we haven't done the best we could do, or we feel a little guilty about something. And we feel we're just not ready to receive blessings until we've made amends. Well, my friends, you can still receive blessings, and after that, go back and make amends. But know that from the perspective of God, you have never not been forgiven. From the perspective of God, all your debts have been wiped away. And we pray that you will always know that. And you can always get back to work making things better down here on planet Earth. As a soul, you were lifted into the kingdom of heaven. And in the kingdom of heaven, you are perfect. So be in that place as you receive the blessing, and then you can choose how you will distribute that blessing into your life and receive. This is why after we offer the blessing, I ask that you go and rest for at least 7 minutes and take the blessing into your heart. Allow the soul of your being to just receive and distribute all the goodness, all the love of God, the grace of the Holy Spirit, and the tender touch of Jesus into your life, and receive fully, body, heart, and soul. Now let us begin. I ask that you be seated and ready to receive, arms and legs uncrossed, in a relaxed position. Allow your attention to fall into your heart without thinking. Just being there, just being open, a blank slate, ready to receive. And when I have finished my prayer to Yeshua, I ask that you pray for 3 minutes while we are conveying the energy. We are just conveyors. It's all the energy of God, of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus. We will convey that energy. And you will receive it in the very most perfect and appropriate way for you. Dear Yeshua, we so thank you that you have created this way for us to be together on Sunday as a community blessing one another, for each other, and for each person who arrives with their hearts open to ask for your prayers, your healing, your blessing, your tender touch upon their life and the life of those they love. We ask that you would heal and give hope, give light, encouragement, and inner joy to us all. We ask that you would strengthen our faith, that we may know that every day can bring a fuller and more perfect answer to every prayer. And we thank you for walking with us on this pathway we call life as we begin to discover the love that we are and all that we are as a soul that has come to forward the creation of our Heavenly Father. Amen. Blessing givers, let's begin. Amen. Your blessing is now complete. But go and receive. Allow it to become part of you on every level. Have a blessed and lovely week. It's been so wonderful to be with you, and I look forward to being with you again very soon. Bye-bye.